Verse this morning was John 15:7. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Elena. Happy birthday. And we said we weren't going to embarrass you or anything, so. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, Eddie Byrd, right, had a motorcycle accident and passed away. Many of you know or knew Betty and Billy, thank you. And their son Eddie passed away this week. Yeah, good, thank you. I need to mention that in church. I appreciate you bringing that up. Good. Our verse was John 15:7. Is just John 15:7. If ye do what? Abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's an amazing verse. Amazing verse. Now, is that verse give you carte blanche that no matter what you want, no matter what you think, you just ask for it and you get it, right? There are some conditions, aren't there? If you're abiding in him, if you are walking with the Lord, if he is abiding in you, if you have sweet fellowship, if you have the mind of Christ, when you pray, he's promised to. Now that just makes sense, doesn't it? If you're praying according to the will of God, it's going to happen. Now I know prayer is a difficult thing, and we're going to talk about it here for a couple weeks, but we'll kind of talk about that verse as we get there. All right. Philippians 4 this morning. Philippians 4 and Matthew 26. I want you to turn to both of those passages this morning. Or Matthew 6, I'm sorry, not 26. Matthew 6. And you can mark that, and we're going to get to that in a little while. And Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Or in your old Scofield reference Bible. You're going to hear that this morning, I'm sure. Preacher Lashley's preaching today. I want you to help me a little bit this morning. Is adultery sin? Why? Because God said don't do it. Okay? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Is stealing sin? Yes. Why? Is gossip sin? Why? Boy, our answers, we're kind of petering out here, aren't we? Well, I... Is worry sin? Sure it is. Why? Because God said don't do it. If God says don't do it and you do it, guess what? You're in sin. Now the last one's one of the toughest ones. And we make, because we all worry. Okay? We all worry. And we try to justify our worry in a lot of ways, and we'll look at that as we get in the lesson. But if we don't understand how bad worry is, we'll never try to fix it. Illustration. I was visiting a man this week who's a member of our church. And his wife has been sick. They've not been in church for years. And I don't know really how long, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. So I drove out to his house. He asked me to sing for his wife's funeral. And I went to his house, and first thing he said when he saw me is, I almost didn't recognize you. You've gained weight. And so at the funeral, I sang, nobody knows the trouble. No, I didn't. At first, Larry, I was concerned that he was saying I was curvaceous. That's what I was concerned about. But the more I thought about it, I realized what he was saying. See, last time he saw me, I was probably, 175, 180 pounds a week, not working out. And since then, I've bought an elliptical. And so that weak, insipid, 175-pound body has now become this 190 pounds of chiseled flesh. So I'm not dieting. I'm not changing my eating habits. I'm not exercising anymore because I'm okay. We can justify about anything, can't we? And I think we justify our worry in the same way. So this morning, I really want to take all of our time to talk about worry. What is it? What are you really doing? What am I really doing when I worry about a situation? Now, let me ask you a question. Let's just take a quick poll. This week, we're just going to talk about this week. How many of you have worried about something this week? You've worried about something. Okay? How many of the rest of you, if you didn't raise your hand, how many are liars? Raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. We all worry, don't we? So, we want to kind of nail this thing down this morning. We're in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, which, by the way, is our memory verse for next week. Okay, and I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. We're gonna put this verse off. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I'm gonna give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks to learn the verse, okay? And that'll get you to, I think, is that July the 29th? Is that the next Sunday? Two weeks from now? Whatever it is. And we'll work on that. But let's look at the verse very quickly. Very first phrase, and that's all we're gonna talk about. Here it is. Be careful for. Oh, come on, seriously? Do you really think that's what God means? Be careful for nothing? Surely it's okay to worry about some things. Be careful for nothing. The meaning of that word, to be careful, is full of care, anxiety, tending to brood or ponder over things. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, the word is used six times. You're in Matthew chapter 6. The word is used six times in Matthew chapter 6. It is never translated, be careful for nothing. You that know Matthew chapter 6, any idea how this word is translated in that text? Very good, Mark's got it. Take no thought. Same original word. Translated, take no thought. In Luke 10:41, Jesus said unto Martha, pastor preached on this last Sunday, Martha, Martha, thou art, you know what that word is? Careful about many things. You know what that word is? Exact same word is in Philippians 4:6. Exact same word in Matthew chapter 6. And later on, if you look at Paul's writings, he always translated to be caring or to take care. And here we're talking about worry. And again, look at the scope of this command. Take no thought in Matthew chapter 6. In Philippians chapter 4, what does it say? Be careful for nothing. Wow. Be careful for nothing? All right. If it's never right to worry, then guess what? It's always wrong to worry. And look about some things we worry about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And he says, therefore, saying to you, take no thought, don't worry for your life, what ye shall eat, and what ye shall drink. Now, I've always said that applies to the men. Okay? What are men concerned about? Food. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink. And then he goes on and he says, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. And that's speaking to the women. It's amazing to me. A woman can have a closet full of clothes and has nothing to wear. I've just never figured that out. But anyway, now all the women are mad at me, so we'll move on here. Yeah, that's right. I am getting worried. Good point. Yeah, you know, we've got this new evangelical pulpit up here. There's no place to hide, you know. It's really scary. So it says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He said, look, don't take thought for these things. And then look again at verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought. Exact same thought. What shall we eat, drink, or how shall we clothe? And then verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. By the way, that does not say you shouldn't plan. It's not what that's saying. But don't worry about it. Now, why does God give us this command? Why is this in the Bible? Well, let me give you a couple things. Number one, Because worry is sin. Worry is sin. It just is. Now, we justify it in all kinds of ways. Help me out here. Now, I'm not asking for confession. But how does your mate or the person sitting next to you or somebody else in this room, how would they justify worrying? How do we justify it? Yes, they're just concerned about this knee. What's that? They don't care? How do people justify? How, have you ever justified being worried? How do you do it? Maybe we just need personal testimonies. Go ahead and tell about yourself. Yes, sir. So it's flesh. I'm flesh. I can't help it. Right? Yeah, Sarah? Ooh, I like that one. I may adopt that. That's pretty good. I mean, that sounds like a, you know, that's pretty good. Well, it's just my personality. You know, it's just the way I am. You know, this is the way I was born. We may say, well, you know, everybody does it. Jim said it really, it's just natural. It's just what happens. You know, my worrying doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, it's just something I do. It's no big deal. No one's bothered by it. It doesn't even hurt me. Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But again, folks, if we justify it, we're not going to be motivated to change. And we're just going to go through our life this way. Now, look, if God says not to do it, and we do it, let me give a couple verses. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Simple matter of fact, folks, that worry is sin. Secondly, worry is a lack of faith. Think about it. When we are full of fear, it means we do not have faith. You remember the disciples in the ship going across the water in the storm? By the way, what was the occupation of some of these guys? Fishermen. Okay, they'd been in a ship before, all right? They'd spent their life out on the Sea of Galilee, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and there's a great storm. And they wake up the Lord, and they said, carest thou not that we perish? What were they really saying? What were they really saying? Lord, you don't care. Ooh, that's pretty strong, isn't it? You don't care. Now, let's not look so high and mighty and so holy. Because we've all been there. And we're going through something and we say, well, you know, if God cared, he'd do something about it. And he did not do anything about it, so he must not care. Wrong conclusion, folks. And the Lord said to those men, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? What was the Lord saying? Fear, and which is what worry is. We're worrying about, we're fearful about what may happen or what may not happen. About how we're going to pay that bill or how we're not going to pay that bill or whatever. He said, those things, folks, are a sign of a lack of faith. And then you're still in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Now look, O ye of little faith. What's this whole passage about? Worry. And the Lord said, when you worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, you are full of worry, and it's because you don't have faith. A person who is walking by faith will not be controlled by worry. Okay? Now, you say, well, you know, it's just so I don't have faith. What's the big deal? Romans 14:23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is, There's that little word again, sin. It's sin. When I worry about a financial problem, really what I am saying is, God, you don't have the power to meet my needs. What are some other things we worry about? Kids. Sure. Sure. Grandkids. Great grandkids. Great. Finances. Sure. Bills. Yeah. Health. Yes. The lady who's been battling cancer for years says, sure. Sure. It'd be very easy, Rachel, for you to be consumed with worry about, is it coming back? You know, it. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Are there promises of God about all those things? Give me a verse about God's provision. There's a real easy one. But my God shall provide most of your needs. Right? All your needs. Now look, when I am concerned about things financial, what am I saying to God? God, I don't believe your promise. Does God know my financial needs? Sure he does. Does God know Todd's financial needs? Sure is. I don't know him. His wife probably does. And she looks worried. So. but God knows exactly what we're going through, folks. And he's promised to meet the need. And so when we say, oh, what am I going to do? It's terrible. We're saying, God, I don't believe you can do it. I don't believe you can do it. You see how bad this stuff is, folks? When we worry, we are denigrating the very character of God. We're saying, God, you're not what you say you are. You can't do what you say you can do. Worry brings sorrow and sickness. I'm reminded of the Israelites when they left Egypt. And they came to the promised land, and it was just really a few days' journey. And they, remember, they sent out the 12 spies, and two of them came back and said, man, we can, with God, we can do this. We can take them. And the other 10 said, man, there are giants. There are high walls. We can't do this. And the people believed the 10, and they had no faith, and they were consumed with worry. By the way, had God given them a promise about the promised land? That's why it's called the promised land. You know, you get it? You know, promised land. God had promised that to them. But they didn't have the faith to go in. And you know what they ended up doing? How did their faith, or lack thereof, affect the children of Israel? They wouldn't ask for directions. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. And in the end, what happened to all of them except for two? They all died. They never received the place of blessing that God intended for them. Two did, and it's interesting, the two that did, what did they have the rest didn't have? Faith. And because of Joshua and Caleb's faith, they got to go in the land. But the whole nation perished. They wandered in the wilderness. They never experienced God's best. They never entered into his rest because of that very thing. Now, folks, there are great spiritual consequences in our lives if we are controlled by worry. What does sin do to your relationship to God? I tricked you. It doesn't really do that, does it? Now, what does it do to your fellowship? Aren't you glad there's nothing that can separate you from your relationship to God? You're a child of God. And that was kind of a dirty question, sorry. I just wonder if anybody answered, right? But what does it do to your fellowship? What does sin do to your fellowship with God? Your sin is separated between us. Breaks the fellowship. Oh, you still have the relationship. Yes, sir. Yeah, hang on to that thought. We'll get there. Just be quiet, Jim. I'm trying to teach here, okay? I hate these guys that jump ahead in the lesson. You know, that's the next page, Jim. Come on. We lose our fellowship, and it keeps from having peace in our life. I tell you, folks, it is so sad that we as believers walk around in turmoil and sadness. Believers ought to be the happiest people in the world. But we go through life at work, and we're just, well, you know, oh, man, we got to go to church tomorrow. Got to listen to that bald-head guy again. Oh, man. And we're at work, and we're just, blah, you know. And then you invite someone to Christ. If that's what you got, I don't want it. And when we're consumed with worry, folks, it will destroy us spiritually. It'll keep us from having peace in our life. It's interesting, in Hebrews, Paul talks about the Israelites, and they did not enter into God's rest. God had a place of rest for them. And because of their unbelief, they never entered into God's rest. And folks, if we don't learn to handle worry, we're going to be in the same boat. Constant turmoil, constant worry, constant trouble. And I tell you what else it does, folks. If you have worry, if you're controlled by your worries, you are never, as Jim said, you're never going to see God do anything great in your life. Now think about this verse, Matthew 13:58. And it says, and he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Now, what does unbelief lead to? Well, it leads to that worry and that concern. Look, if you are controlled by worry, you will never serve God the way you ought to. Well, you know, I think the Lord wants you to sing in the choir, but man, what if I get up there and I turn the wrong page and I get lost and I end up singing a solo? I'm not joining the choir. Well, you know, I'd try to witness to people, but what if they ask me something I don't know? I don't know the answer. What am I going to do? Well, I'd like to serve the Lord, but man, what if I get out there and on the limb and God cuts the limb off behind me? I mean, you know, if you're controlled by worry, folks, you will never do what God wants you to do. It's just not going to happen. You'll never be a witness. You'll never do anything for God. You'll never work on a bus or be a bus captain or even work in the nursery. By the way, just a little thing here. I heard via the grapevine we're in need of ladies to work in the nursery. I know it's not the world's most glamorous job. In fact, it may be one of the least. We've got three ladies who are expecting. All in September. More babies are on the way. I made a huge mistake. I realized one day that we didn't have any women in the church that were pregnant, and I said something to the choir about it. Now there are three ladies in the choir who are pregnant, and they're all going to be out of the choir now because they're having their children. So I'm not going to say that anymore. There's a great need right there. You say, well, what if I get in there and this kid does this? Look, folks, if you live your life concerned by worry, you'll never do anything for God. Never. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to come to church, and we're glad you're here. But you're going to come to church, and you're going to sit. Bless me, preacher, bless me. And you're not going to talk to anybody because you may welcome someone to church and say, boy, it's great to have you. Well, I've been here 30 years. And you're well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I tell you, folks, worry will handcuff you in the service of God. It will. By the way, if you get in the service of God and you make a mistake, what do? Quit, right? Never happened. No, you just, hey, life goes on. Life goes on. And you just keep serving the Lord. Well, there are great spiritual consequences to worry. There's great physical consequences. I like, you're still in Matthew chapter 6. He says in Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, pastor jokes about his height. And some of you joke about his height. You shouldn't. Shame, shame, shame. And he could go through life, and maybe some of you are you know, challenged height-wise too. And you can go through life saying, oh, I wish I was taller. Oh, I just wish I was taller. And you could be worried and concerned about that. And how much taller are you going to get? Doesn't change a thing. And you worry and you worry and you worry, but nothing happens. Listen to all the things a man says worry and stress can cause in your life. Muscular tension and headaches, insomnia, fatigue, increased or decreased appetite, heart palpitations, colitis, ulcers, cramps, and other stomach disorders. There you go. There you go. One man said, worry is like getting in your car, here's a mechanic here, and revving it up as high as it'll go and just sitting there and keeping it revved up as high as it'll go. Now, Joey, eventually what's going to happen? Bad things. More money for you. That engine's going to blow all apart. And that's exactly what worry is. We rev it up and we're going, but we're doing nothing. And we're just, and eventually, you got problems. And you've got all kinds of physical disorders.
Well, I understand that 99% of what we're worried about never comes.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. You know something else worry does, and I've kind of already touched on this, worry ruins your testimony. You're in Matthew still, and I read verse 31, but let's look at that. Verse 31 and 32, Matthew 6. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. What's he saying? When I have a need and I become consumed with worry, who am I acting like? An unbeliever. When you get a bad report from the doctor and we fall apart, who are we acting like? And you see, when you act like an unbeliever, your testimony is ruined. It's ruined. When we worry, we don't have a vibrant living testimony. We're just like the world. Now, are you beginning to see a little bit of why we shouldn't worry? Now look, folks, when we start worrying, we need to say, wait a minute. I am questioning the veracity of God. I am questioning whether God keeps his promises. I am questioning whether God can take care of me. I am hurting my body physically. I am hurting my testimony. It is keeping me from doing what God wants me to do. How many of you in this room, there's been a time when God prompted you to hand out a tract and you didn't? And you didn't. Why didn't you? I'm worried about what they're going to say. Right? I've been there and done that too. God impresses on you to witness to somebody and you don't do it. Why? Because you worry and you're afraid how they're going to respond, what they're going to say. Be careful for nothing. Now, this is easy to teach. It's hard to live. It is. So is there a cure for worry? There is. You want to know what it is? Come back in 2 weeks and you'll find out. Or if you're memorizing the verses, just memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the answer. Now, we're going to spend a whole lesson on that and try to nail it down. But there's the answer. Claim the promises of God. Go to God. Instead of going to somebody else or putting it on Facebook, what am I going to do? Go to God. Isn't it amazing how we go to everybody under the sun that can't help us except God who can? It's amazing. Let me close an illustration. Many of you know the name John Wesley, and you may have heard the story, but John Wesley in 1736 was on board a ship coming to Georgia, the colony of Georgia at the time, and a ferocious storm comes up, and it's shredding the sails. There's a huge storm. The wind and the waves are crashing against the boat, and everybody on the boat thinks they're going to die, and they're about to go down, and they're screaming, and they're crying, and oh, it's just terrible. It's terrible. Except for one group of people, a group of believers called the Moravians, German Christians. And they were sitting around singing praises to God. John Wesley spent 2 years in Georgia and really struggled spiritually. And there's a reason for that. He was trying to do a spiritual work without the Holy Spirit of God. And he came back to England later on and he wrote about this event. And he came back and he on May the 24th of 1738, and he attended a Moravian society meeting at Aldersgate Street in London. You know why he went there? Why did he go to that meeting? Because of the way those people responded in the storm. They had a peace he didn't have. They had something he didn't have. And he went to that meeting, and whoever was preaching read the Martin Luther's preface to Romans, and Wesley wrote, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for my salvation." And he went on and won thousands and thousands and thousands to Christ. And you know why? Because there was a group of believers that knew how to trust God. And even though they were in the midst of a terrible storm and their life was threatened and it looked like they were probably going to die, they had the peace of God in their life. And it so impacted his life that later on he came to that group and found Christ. Now let me ask you a question. If the people that know you, the people that work with you, your family members, does your life show them that kind of God? When you have problems and difficulties come into your life, how do you respond? How do I respond? Do we respond like believers? Or do we respond like unbelievers? See, folks, when we can respond like believers, like the Moravians did, it'll impact our community. It will have an impact on those around us. When we respond like the world does, there'll be no impact whatsoever. So let me encourage you this week. Now, you know the rest of the story, okay? We're going to teach on the rest of the story here in a couple weeks, but you know what it is already. I'm just saying, let's act like believers this week. Now, there are people in this room that have needs I know nothing about. People in this room have needs I cannot do anything about. But God knows, and God can. And that's where our faith needs to be. And folks, if you will trust in Him, trust in the one who created it all and sustains it all, you can have a victorious Christian life. And you can have an impact on those around you. Much stronger than your words will be your life. And when you live the life, then it gives strength and power to your words. Okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for your word today. And God, you know that every one of us in this room struggles with worry. We struggle with the things we cannot control. But, oh God, we are so grateful today that we have a God who is in control, a God who has promised to meet our needs, a God who has the power to meet our needs. He has the knowledge to know what they are and the power to meet them. And Lord, help us this week as things come up in our lives. Lord, help us to look to you and to trust you and to rest in you. And not live a life of worry, but live a life of faith, I pray. Lord, help us as believers to walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.